worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord.
Church, we have a good Christmas. All right, we got kind of a great day in the Lord today. Let's all stand up and let's lift our praises, sing about His love, doesn't fail us.
Nothing can separate, even if I ran away. Your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but You have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails.
Stay. Come on, sing that.
You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails.
All right, I want you to think about this last year, and I want you to lift it up.
The wind's strong and the water's deep, but I'm not alone here in these open seas.
Your love never fails.
Chasm is far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side.
Your love never fails.
And you stay.
You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Make all things work together for my good.
Sing that out loud.
You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good.
Think about last year and God do this.
You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good.
One more time, you make all things.
You make all things work together for my good.
Yeah, yeah.
You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. All things work together for my good.
You sing it.
Things work together for my good.
Again, one more time.
All things work together for my good.
There you go. All right.
All right, let's keep that attitude of worship going right now. Let's all sing together. Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love. No, it doesn't.
Your love never fails.
power of the grave, and it's constant in the trial and the change. One thing remains, one thing.
It's it. Your love
never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.
Your love
never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.
Your love
never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me.
Lord God, we come to you today on this last day of 2014. If anybody else is like me, God, we wonder, where did that year go? And yet, when we stop and we look, there's been so many things that have gone on, so many good, so many trying and even bad. And yet, God, when we look at through this whole pattern, we look at one thing, that you were there, and that you've been faithful, and that you never fail us. And so, God, as we look forward to this next year, there's kind of like this time of newness and renewal and just do-overs. God, help us just to look at the promises that you give us now that we're going to claim and rejoice in you today. And so help us to remember that your love never fails. No matter what this year has for us, you will be there. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. At this time, our children can go ahead to our Shoreline Sunday School ministry.
That's his Jimmy Fallon sweater.
All right, good morning. Dare I say Happy New Year? Wow, it's crazy, isn't it? Crazy. Good to see everyone here. We know this is a crazy, hectic time. I want to say right now, for those who are running the video, the online feed, the keeping it up, going here, AV team, audio visual, the praise team, this is the fourth different service that they've had to be part of in a week. So it's a lot of songs, a lot of things. So I thank all of them for all that they do. And they do it year after year after year after year. And usually we don't have much of a break. And so I'm thankful for them. Without them, we wouldn't have the worship experiences that we do. So to everybody, thank you very much for that. Okay, if you're interested in becoming a member, February 1st, believe it or not, isn't that weird? February 1st, 2015 is right around the corner. It's a month away. Yuck, right? So here we go. We'll be into that. And we can begin to start paying taxes for another year. Everybody's excited about that. I wanted to thank you. There's a thank you note in there thanking everyone who's been part of this church for the love that you showed me and my family during throughout the year, but also with a special financial gift for the end of the year. That means a lot, and thank you very, very much. Men's group. Men's group will meet this Tuesday right here. We've had some people that have some good group to get together. So if you're a man, show up. We'll let you in, and it'll be a great time, just a good chance to get together. You can see that the couples group are going to get together, and kids are welcome, and they'd love to add some more people to that. If you'd like to go ahead and attend there, please go ahead and do so. Angel Tree, you can see right there that our church was able to provide 46 gifts to make Christmas special for 7 children and mothers during this difficult holiday time. And then mark your calendars, January 18th for the Parish Foundation. And today, just to let you know, today is our last day that we're going to have an opportunity to go ahead and share financially for this year, and so we'll talk about that in a bit. What I want you to do right now, if you can, just kind of greet the people around you, wish them Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and then I'll bring you back together and we'll go ahead with our prayers. Ready. All right. As always, we want to go ahead and we want to lift up our prayers. And so we have a baby. All right. He's down there. So we have a baby. Look at that. That is dedication. They were in church last week, had a baby this week, had Christmas, and back in church with the baby this week. That is church dedication. So this child is off to a good start. It's got 100% attendance in its life. So that's awesome. All right. We want to lift up some people in your prayers, in our prayers. Ray Caldwell. Ray is watching right now online because of health and pain relief. So he is watching with us, but keep Ray in your prayers during this time. Robin Hildebrand asked for prayers for her sister, Jean, with lungs and digestive problems. Trish Moore shared with us today that she's going to have surgery, hysterectomy, on the 27th, and so she's very scared and asked for prayers for that. Donna is asking for prayers for the Potts family, healing for his prosthetic leg, and has he been doing pretty well last time I heard, but he's still some adjustments. Right, so that's Vaughn Potts, many of you remember and know Vaughn. Trudy, pray her mom gets home safe. She's driving back to Georgia, and to pray for her son. And Patty asked for prayer for the Cooper family. They lost their son to cystic fibrosis. He was very young, and please pray for Connie Vault. She is Donnie and Dot Preston's daughter. She has a tumor in her brain. It's something some of you have been around for a while know, remember Donnie and Dot Preston. And Rhonda Elkins, praise and thanks to the Lord for answered prayer.
bringing a guest and her son last Sunday. We had a packed house last Sunday, right? It was great. We had a lot of people in here, and a lot of people got the message of the Lord, and so that's just an awesome way. So if you're visiting today, welcome. We want to welcome you. We hope that you're having a good time. We have a small gift for you right out here, and I believe you might have received a card. Also, in the first couple pews, there's some clipboards. You can see them on the edge. I'm going to close that out today for a disciple Bible study that'll be beginning. If you're interested in that, just please go ahead and pass that and let people sign that. And I believe there also may be one for people to sign up for nursery as well, if you would like to go ahead. You're feeling really young in the beginning part of the year, and or you're feeling really old and you want some youth added to you. So please go ahead and we can share in our children's ministry. But most of all, we just want to go ahead and worship the Lord today. So let's bow our heads right now for prayer. Lord God, we just thank you for bringing us through another year. As we are going to talk about today, and we've already sang, that through it all, no matter what the highs, whatever the lows, that your love has never failed us. You've been there. Sometimes we may have it may have been difficult for us to see that, but God, you've remained so faithful. And so as we look forward to this year of 2015, not knowing what it's going to hold for us, we know we don't have to worry about what the future holds, because we know who holds the future. And you hold our hand and are going to guide us through this. And you have so many promises for us individually and for this church over the next year that I can't wait to see your hand move in all the individuals' lives. And so, Lord God, as you provided for us through another year, we also want to take this last opportunity to show our love for you through our tithe and our offering, to give that back to you as just a portion of the many gifts and greatness that you've given to us. And so as we give for this last time this year, God, your scripture says you love a cheerful giver, and so may you take this as a seed and just multiply it to meet the many needs here at Haven Community Church, but more importantly, in our community and our world around us. And God, we give you thanks for who you are and who you're going to be for us this year and until the time we take our last breath and we get to worship you in glory. So, Lord God, anoint this time. As this offering is an act of worship, let us continue to worship you in Christ's mighty name. Amen.
So you guys have a favorite Christmas song? Everybody has one, right? This is our favorite song. So I'm going to play Bing Crosby. He's going to play David Bowie.
Come, they told me, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum, a newborn king to see, ba-rum-pa-bum-bum. Gifts we bring, ba rum ba bum bum, rum ba bum bum, rum ba bum bum. Come,
peace on earth,
ba rum ba bum.
Can it be
a years
from now? Perhaps we'll see.
I'll see the day.
Living peace.
Please stand with me for the reading of the scripture.
Psalm 48, 9 to 14. Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion, go around her, count her towers. Consider well her ramparts, view her citadels, that you may tell of them to the next generation. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our God, even to the end.
Anybody with me? Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? That's, you know, if you know anybody and you met them this year, forget them. There's some of those, some of you that may want to do that with some people over the last year that you've met. But one of the things is, you know, as I said, in trying to look this year, this naturally is one of those times of year where we just look back. Anybody been looking back over the last year? You just kind of reflected, and you know, like I said the other night, I kind of feel like it should be October. I'm kind of just messed up right now with timing. But then, with looking back, you also have an opportunity to look forward. Let me just ask a question. Did anybody have any kind of trial this past year? Anybody kind of go through anything that you thought was maybe a little bit difficult? Did anybody have anything that was just joyous and awesome this past year? Okay, guess what? I got something to tell you. This next year, you're going to have some awesome stuff happen. Guess what? You're also going to have some trying stuff happen. Just letting you know. As I look back on my life, every year seems to be that way. And one of the consistencies that I see in that is simply this, is that Jesus never fails. And that's something, yeah, that's good. And, you know, I'm glad somebody said amen, because guess what? Today, I'm going to need a lot of help from you. I'm on my fourth different service, too, so I need you guys to help. I want to hear you today, okay? Amen. All right, that's a good start. That's not perfect yet, but I want to hear you. So in order to start, I'm going to jump around a lot today. We're going to be in several different scriptures, even several different translations. Yes, I had a lot of energy even afterwards. I think it's just kind of hanging on. Maybe it's a sugar high that I put in my body. I don't know what it is. But I know I got to run a lot more this week than I did the last couple weeks. And so we are just going to really unpack this. So I want to start with the verse that Randy had read for us. And we're going to look at this from Psalm verse 48. 9 through 14. And we're going to unpack this a little bit. We're going to stop. We're going to go. And we're going to have a good time. And then I'm going to send you out of here for New Year's Eve. So you can go get smashed. No, just joking. That was a joke, okay? All right. So here we go. Within your temple, O Lord, we meditate on your unfailing love. Like your name, O God, your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Mount Zion rejoices. Now Mount Zion is us. Somebody say rejoice.
Rejoice.
Somebody say rejoice.
Rejoice.
Okay, good. Because that's what we're talking about. Mount Zion rejoices. The villages of Judah are glad because of your judgments. Okay, so that's our first couple. Now, what this person is doing right now, what the psalmist is doing, he's addressing God right now. He's addressing him, and he's saying, hey, here's what you got going on. Then, he's going to switch gears a little bit here after talking to God. And this is written primarily for people who are on a journey to Jerusalem. And on the way here to church today, I hit a Sirius, whatever you call it now, station. And it was like an old Southern gospel one, which I know some people are like, oh my gosh. Yeah, I was doing it, and I was like just messing with my kids. And I was singing, but there's some, like, they had What a Friend We Had in Jesus. I was harmonizing. My kids were looking at me like, what are you doing? But it was one of those, just kind of something that I was looking at. And I remember that some of these old hymns, one of the ones that I thought about today when I looked at this was the old song, We're Marching to Zion. Remember that one? And the beautiful city of God. And it talks about, there's a lot of things that talk about Zion and God and things like that. So as I was looking at this, I just kind of thought about that. So Jerusalem was a great pilgrimage, but primarily this psalm is written for people who were going on a journey to Jerusalem after Jerusalem had been attacked. They had been attacked and they came through it. And yet people are going, okay, we're going to Jerusalem. And so here they go. They're up there. Now he switches gears and begins to talk to the people. And he says, walk about Zion, go around her, count her towers, consider well her ramparts, her citadels, that you may tell of them to the next generation. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide to the end. Now what's going on here? As I said, he's talking to them. The first thing he says is, right here in verse 12, walk about Zion. Walk about. Now, one of the interesting things is, I know Nicole's speaking somewhere else, but I was going to ask her today. In Australia, they talk about a walkabout. Anybody ever heard of that? Okay. Now, in the Aborigine community, a walkabout is this. They take young men, adolescent boys, and it's like a transition into manhood, and they take them, they throw them out in the wilderness and have them walk about and maybe live out there for some even 6 months. And they have to live as their ancestors, and they trace their ancestry. I'm thinking about moving to Australia so I can do that with Jacob for a while and see if he can go ahead. What they do is it's part of a connection to have them attached to the old history of the people. It's also a transition into manhood and to do a walkabout. Now, how many of you, when you have something on your mind, you just take a walkabout? You just kind of go and walk. I'm not saying for 6 months, but you just kind of walk around. You got to get it out of your head. You just kind of walk around and go, and you just think, okay? So what I want to do, the first thing I want to do, hopefully you'll check on your bulletins because you can go ahead and fill in some things. The first thing I want us to do right now is to take a walkabout in your life. I want you to stop where you are right now, and I just want you to walk around your life. Take a good walk around. What do you see? Now, some of us see things where we go, we're like, oh, wow, that looks pretty good. And other times we go, whoa, we're in a bad neighborhood. Let's keep moving. And so what I want you to do is just, through this time, we want to take a walkabout. As we end one year and go to another one, it's just a natural area where if you're like me, you take kind of an accounting or a walkabout around your life. Anybody doing that right now? Okay, this is where these resolutions come in. And so we're going to walk around a little bit around our lives. And in doing so, we're going to have a good time doing that. So it is good at times to do this. As you walk around your life, you may see some things, as I said, that are really good. And you may have seen, let's compare it to the walk around you did last year. You may have walked around and said, wow, you know, I am much better at this than I was last year. But there may be an area in your life that's a stronghold that you just don't like to see and don't like to look at. And you're a little bit taken off by why is this not changed? But look at what it says here. Walk about Zion, counter towers. And look at her ramparts. Now, what I want to do today as we're walking around is I want to talk about that as we walk around and we look and we find the ups and the downs, that, you know, even though we've been attacked over the last year, anybody been attacked? Now, remember, I said I need your help today. Anybody been attacked this last year? Okay, and so, but guess what? Take a walk around your life. You're still standing, am I right? Anybody still standing? And so as you walk around your life, I know people in this building and people who are watching online, I know people who have dealt with health issues. I know people that the doctor said, you don't have much time to live. And guess what? Praise God, they're still standing. And I know people who say, you know what? Our marriage was breaking up at the beginning of the year. And guess what? You're still together. Amen? And you need to praise God for that. You're still standing. Though the enemy sought to destroy you, you are still standing. Does that make anybody happy? All right. So as we look at this today, we are going to look at some examples of when we need to rejoice. You say, how are you making that transition? Because a lot of times we wait to rejoice in the good circumstance. We want to rejoice in God when the marriage is put back together, when we get the, hey, you're in remission, rather than rejoicing with God in the midst of the circumstances that we're in. God wants us to rejoice as we're taking that lap around our life and look and say, hey, you know what, it's tough for you right now, but I'm going to praise you. That's where God wants us to go ahead and share that. And so that's what we're going to share today. So the first thing I want to do is I want you to do this, and the blanks are also on your sheet. I want you to begin to rejoice. Everybody say with me, rejoice.
Rejoice.
Rejoice for the battles that did not beat you. Somebody say that. The battles that did not what?
Beat you.
Praise God, rejoice for the battles that did not beat you. It's time to do that walk around and praise God and rejoice and say, I am still standing. Look at somebody and say, I'm still standing. Say, I'm still standing. Don't you want to sing that old song? I'm still standing. Yeah, you're right. Elton John. I'm still standing. And that's the thing. The enemy wanted to take you out. But I'm still standing. I've been shook. I've been shocked. I've been scarred. I've been knocked down. I've been beat up. But I'm still standing. You know, I've heard people say, count your blessings. There's that's one of the songs in one of my favorite Christmas movies, White Christmas. Count your blessings. But I'm here to tell you, count your battles. Because it's through those battles, right? It's through those battles that I am brought closer to God than I ever would have been if I just had blessings. Okay? So count your battles as well. Sometimes, just sometimes in your life, the battle is the blessing. A lot of times, yeah, the battle is something that we've created ourselves. But sometimes the battle is the blessing. And we look at that. You know, if you look back on your year, there is some stuff that you went through. There's some stuff I went through. You know, there's some relationships and some people that I love dearly that decided that they didn't love me as much as I thought they did love me. Anybody with me? And there's some situations that I found myself in that by the grace of God, he got me out of. And I'm still standing. And so I am going to rejoice in those battles. There are some battles where I thought, I'm done. Just, you know, remember we talked about Elijah a little bit here this year and Elisha? I had some Elijah moments in my life where I was like, God, I'm no good to you. Just kill me, get it done, and I'll go home for Christmas. You know what I mean? And what I found out is through those battles, even though my flesh was willing to give up, that God strengthened parts of my spirit that could have never been strengthened unless I had gone through those battles and recognized he is faithful and he never fails me. Right? Okay, I'm just checking to see if you're still there. And so if you look at that, you have an awesome opening. If you look at this verse from Jesus' brother James, James tells us this, consider it pure joy, my brothers, that you face many trials. Because in those trials, it produces perseverance. You know, those moments when you wanted to give up on your relationship, those moments when you wanted to give up on somebody else, those moments when you wanted to pack it in for your health, those moments when you had that wayward child that you said, I can't do anything with them anymore, I'm going to give up on it. If you continued in that battle, guess what? God's faithful, and he perseveres, and you persevere, and you added something to your life and to your faith. In there. Everybody got that one? The battles that did not beat you. Number two, rejoice. Somebody say rejoice.
Rejoice.
Look at somebody next to you and go, rejoice!
Rejoice!
All right. Rejoice for the beatings that did not break you. For the beatings that did not what? Break you. Break you. The beatings that did not break you. Look at, as we read, it says, count the towers. Count the towers. Towers were an area of a stronghold. You would go up into towers. Anybody been down to the beach around Lewis, Rehoboth, and you see those towers on the beach? They put those there so that in World War II, if they saw the German U-boats or whatever, that they could look and see anybody coming. That's what they were all put there for. Interesting enough that when they, after the war, they found the German U-boat and it had a ticket to a movie theater in Rehoboth. They had come on shore and gone to the movies in Rehoboth. I think that's really funny myself. Didn't know that, did you? You learned something new by church, coming to church, right? Rejoice for the beatings that didn't break you. In order to do this, I want to go to Acts chapter 5, verses 40 through 42. Now, this is after Jesus has ascended into heaven. The disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit. They begin to preach and teach, and they're on a roll. But something happens. The religious leaders of the day do not like it. They bring them in, and they're about ready to beat them, kill them, persecute them. And they're telling them, stop talking about this Jesus. Stop talking about this Jesus. And there's a guy named Gamaliel who is very known in Jewish history as a guy who was a great teacher, related to Hillel. Anybody heard of Hillel House? Very important teacher in Judaism. And it says that he stood up and he said, let me tell you something. You can do whatever you want to these people, but if you do and it's of God, nothing you do is going to stop it. But if it's not of God, it's going to fail anyway. So let's just let him go. And so we come to this point here in verse 40 of chapter 5, and it says, his speech persuaded them, and they called the apostles in and had them flogged and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So here you have, they said, let them go, and what ends up happening? They get beat. Now, how many times in your life, over your whole life, or maybe just through this year, that you felt like you were getting really close to Jesus, you were doing what God wanted you to do in your life, and yet you started to get beat up a little bit. And it seems like sometimes the closer you get to Jesus, the more the people around you want to beat you up a little bit. And then you're like, God, why is this happening? What's going on here? Well, because we have a mixed reaction to what happens. Let's look at what continues in verse 41. The apostles left the Sanhedrin, and what do? Rejoicing. What do? Rejoicing because they have been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. They left rejoicing because they had found themselves worthy. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm getting beaten up by people at times, I don't find myself, hallelujah, I'm worthy. I'm like, I want to beat somebody else up. Throw them back in my way. I want to tune somebody up right now. Anybody with me? And you know, that frustrates me. And what we look at our suffering moments as bad things, but they looked at them as, hey, you know what? I'm suffering and I'm worthy. That God has found me worthy to suffer for him. Sometimes the bad we go through is because of our wrong difference. And what I find out is a lot of times, I did really bad in accounting in college. Anybody take accounting in college? Jill was the accountant. I had no clue what I was doing. I survived, got through, and passed. But in accounting, I do recognize that there are two categories. There's a gain and a loss category. I still don't have a clue how to put one in the other or what matches what. But what I found out is, what I think is we have an accounting problem in our life. Look at somebody and say, you got an accounting problem. What we do, a lot of times we put the areas of that we think are loss, we put them in a loss column when really they should be a gain. And our gain in our lives. God has so much faith and trust and glory for you that he's allowing you to suffer for his name. We look at suffering and put it in the loss column. But the disciples had it right because they were suffering for Christ. Key term, for Christ. It was a gain for them. And they left rejoicing. And so I want to put it another way for you. And I want you to listen up. Those fake friends in your life that you lost this year, that is not a loss. That's a gain. Amen. That's a gain because I got to tell you something. Because they were dragging you down in the first place. They were distracting you from what God called them to do. And sometimes you probably never got to where God called you to do because they were dragging on your life, dragging you down. And I'm going to thank God for the blessing and the glory he's going to give you in advance. And here's another thing, for the people that God is going to send in your way that are not only going to replace those friends, but encourage you in the Lord. That's what you should be happy about. It's tough when you lose people that you love, am I right? But guess what? I read a quote this year when I was dealing with one of these situations, and it was a quote from a guy named T.D. Jakes. Anybody ever heard of him? And Bishop T.D. Jakes said this, "The people who leave you, don't chase after the people who leave you because your destiny is not tied to people who walk away from you." Let that sink in for a while. When they walk away from you, guess what? They never loved you in the first place. They were conditionally loving you for what they could get from you, not from what God needed them to do in your life together. And that's a hard thing because I love people and I've read The Lost Sheep. I understand that. But you know what? The sheep was ready to go back with Jesus. You with me? It hurts when you look at the people that you love and care about who just left you and didn't care about that. Pray for them, and if they come back, you welcome them with open arms. That's what you're responsible for. You're not responsible for reacting to how they react. You're responsible how you react in God. And so with that situation, that job that you put your whole faith and your trust in that you lost this last year, put it as a gain for what God is going to do in your life this year. Guess what? God just freed you up 40-plus hours a week to do what he wants you to do. That's a gain. That's a gain. And guess what? If you don't have a clue where your next paycheck is coming from, guess what God does? He told, one of the first things he said to people on the hillside who were hungry and out of their homes, he said, "Why worry about tomorrow? Today's got enough problems of its own." Hey, he said, take a look at the flowers. Solomon in all his splendor, who had wealth and wisdom, he didn't look that beautiful. Take the birds. They aren't sitting there going, "What am I going to get my worm this day? Where am I going to get it? Oh, what are we going to do?" He said, "I got him taken care of, so I'm going to take care of you. Trust in the Lord. And lean not on your own what? Understanding in all your ways, and he will make your path straight." Guess what? Quit doing the walk around through 2015 and walk straight through the year and see where God leads you. So, is it anybody today? It is to me. Okay, so rejoice. Rejoice because you've been beaten up. So tell somebody, "I've been beaten up. I've been talked about. People don't love me. I ate some worms. I've been living in some dirt, and guess what? I'm still standing." All right. Verse 41, the apostles went rejoicing in the Lord because they were worthy. Verse 42, I love this. Verse 42 says, day after day. Somebody say day after day. Day after day in the temple courts from house to house, they never stop. Say never stop. They never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Never stop, day after day. We got 365 days, right? It's not a leap year, I don't think. But we got that many days, so guess what? Don't stop, day after day, praise him. Number three, rejoice, say rejoice. Rejoice. For the beginnings that seemed unimportant and small to you. I'm going to go to a verse that everybody has memorized, a chapter of the Bible, Haggai, right? Haggai. Let's look at this. Now, this is a good topic here because this is, I told you I'm going to bounce around a lot and do some different versions. Haggai is, this is a time where the temple had been destroyed. Zerubbabel is the king. And so you're going to find a lot of names. You guys already had the baby, so sorry, you're going to miss out on some names like Zerubbabel and Haggai. But if anybody else is pregnant, maybe God's blessing you this year, or in my case, I'll put that on the loss column. if that's, you can get some good names. But Zerubbabel is the king, and the people laid a foundation. And one of the things they did, they laid a foundation and stopped for 16 years. Just stopped for 16 years building the temple. They laid a foundation. And because sometimes we look at small beginnings and we think, that's nothing. And so Haggai's job was to get the people back to work. Get them back to work to build this temple. So in verse 3 of Haggai, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. I believe we're going to have him up here. He says this, "Does anyone remember this house, this temple? its former splendor. How in comparison does it look to you now? It must seem like nothing at all. Again, they're going and they have this huge, incredible temple, and now they have just a couple rocks and foundation there that laid there for 16 years. And they go, how's that look? He's like, do you remember its splendor? And they're like, yeah, oh my gosh, it was so awesome. And they're like, how's it look now? And you go, not too good. So the beginning, it seems like nothing at all. Verse 4 says, but now the Lord says, now God's going to talk, be strong, Zerubbabel. Be strong, Jeshua, son of Jehozadak. See, I told you, there's a couple names right there you can use. Be strong, all you people still left in the land. And now do what? And now do what? Get to work. Get to work. For I am what? With you, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Key thing there, get to work. Second thing, I am with you. Those two things. Guess what? When God is with you in your work, it's going to succeed. Get to work. They wasted 16 years with a foundation and never got anywhere until God went to them and said, it's time for you to get to work. Now, for some of you, you may have been coasting through 2014. And God's saying, time for you to get to work. Time for you to get to work and say, guess what? I'm going to be with you. Not just job, but he's saying, get to work in for me. Serve me. Do what I've called you to do. Quit putting it on the shelf. Now get to work. Verse 5 through 6 say, my spirit remains among you, just as I promised when you came out of Egypt. So do not be afraid. For this is what the Lord of heaven's armies say. In just a little while, I will again shake the heavens and the earth, the oceans and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and the treasures of the nation will be brought to this temple. I will fill this place with glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. I even added verse 7 in there. What is God saying here? He's saying some really awesome stuff. I'm getting ready to do some really cool stuff, so get on my work detail so I can be with you. In verse 8, he continues. He says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of heaven's armies. In other words, all that provision I've got for you. The future glory of this temple will be greater than its past. Let me say that again, verse 9. The future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord of heaven's armies. What in the world is he saying? What is going on here? What does this have to do? Well, here, I got to tell you something. When we talk about the temple of God now, we don't talk about a building. When we talk about the temple of God, we talk about what the New Testament talks about, that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I got to tell you something that I look about. That means all the stuff that God has shared to the people about the temple structure is for you today, if you just get to work and recognize God is there. It means provision is there for you. But the key verse is that verse in verse 9. The future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory. That means how many, those of you who've had a good years, some of you may be like me at times, you have a bad year and you may look back and you say, wow, you know, 2000, I really missed the 90s. You know, that was good. And you know, remember we did our 80s series this year? We say, wow, you know, I really missed the mullet. And we go through that. That was good years. We tend to romanticize those earlier times. But I'm here to tell you that when you get to work for God and you recognize that he's with you, your future is going to be more glorious than your past. Anybody there? Your future is going to be more glorious than your past. That means you have a better future ahead of you when you're with God. And then as I looked at this some more, in other words, what God is saying is, the best is yet to come. Does that sound good for you this time of year? The best is yet to come. And then as I read on further, I came to this verse in chapter in the same chapter, but it was verse 18 and 19. And I want to look at this with you here. So 16 years, these people stood around and looked at a foundation and said, never going to be as good as it used to be. In some of your own brokenness over this last year, you're probably like, I'm never going to be able to have a relationship again. My next job is never going to be as good as my other one. I'm never going to have a friend as close as that one that left me. And we're looking at a foundation. And God's promise is this for this. And he says, think about this 18th day of December, the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. You know what happened? When people got together and began to lay that foundation of the temple, they were excited. They were thrilled. They were like, yes, we finally get to rebuild this temple. It was destroyed. We get to do this. We get to do this. They laid the foundation, recognized that it was going to be hard work, recognized that it was going to be diligent. And as they built and built and worked, they realized they didn't see themselves getting anywhere. It was small. It was a little bit small. So they said, remember about that day when the foundation was there. Think carefully. Think really carefully. And as they begin to think, God says to them, I'm giving you a promise. While the seed is still in the barn, you have not yet harvested your grain, and your grapevines, fig trees, pomegranates, and olive trees have not produced crops. But from this day onward, I will what? Bless you. I will bless you. Look at that. There's a really, really cool verse there that says this. I'm giving you a promise. Somebody say, God's promise is faithful. And guess what? He says, I'm giving you this promise while the seed is where? In the barn. You haven't even taken it out of the bag and put it in the ground, and God's already given you the promise. And I look at this, and I'm excited about this because I have some seeds in my life that I didn't see come to fruition in 2014. I have some seeds that are still in my barn that God is saying, Jack, you need to rejoice for me. When I look back and say, God, I thought you were going to do this last year. And he says, hey, I told you rejoice while it's in the barn for the promise that's going to occur when I bring it to fruition. And so for many of you, you have some seeds in your barn. You have some other stuff that's going on in your life, and you have yet to go ahead and give it to the Lord. It's not produced one crop, but it's in the barn, and that promise is real. The promise is given in the seed, not in the crop. How many of you here have unanswered prayers? How many of you have unfinished dreams? How many have visions that you thought were going to happen? How many have promises for those you care about? And you still have those hopes and visions and haven't come to fruition. You know, when I was in seminary, they gave me this great discussion. And it was something called the already and not yet. Anybody ever heard of that? Already and not yet. And this is how God works. Because we struggle with this more than we ever do before. Because guess what? We want something. We get on a computer. We get it right away. We want some food. We zip up in a car. We talk to a speaker. And we say, huh? Yeah, whatever. And you end up with stuff you don't even ask for. You get it and you say, wow, I want it. You ever sat in a fast food line aggravated because it took 5 minutes? Right? And you're frustrated. I thought this was this and I thought that was that. And we get frustrated because we want stuff now. And this is hard for us now because guess what? God is not a fast food delivery service. God works on his schedule, but his promise is still in the seed. And so when I look at this, God gives us a great definition of faith, and that's in your bulletin here. Faith is when you have the promise and the proof is not there yet. That's what faith is. Faith is the already I have the promise, but it's not there yet because I don't have the proof to see it. We think seeing is believing. Now I'm here to tell you, believing is seeing what God can do in your life. It's in the seed, not the crop. So I rejoice in my barn. That's when I need to rejoice in the barn. That's when I need to ask myself, when are you going to praise him? Are you going to praise him after the fact? Or are you going to praise him now? Are you going to praise him for the seed that he's going to do in your job? Are you going to praise him for the seed in that you've just been accepted to a college and you're headed somewhere and you don't know where that's going to end up? Are you going to praise him in the part where you're working out your relationship with your significant other? Are you going to praise him when you're going through the struggles and you're committing your child to the Lord? Or are you going to wait till afterwards to praise the Lord? He says, no, rejoice in the seed because that's where the promise is. That's where the promise is going to be when you praise him. And then, you know, I wanted to go to Haggai. I told you I was looking at different versions and I went to the Message version. And in verse 19, it has this as the last part, and it says, from now on, you can count on a blessing. When you praise him in the promise of the seed, from now on, you can count on a blessing. So guess what you can, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in 2015. See, I don't even know what year it is. 2015, you can count on God for a blessing if you rejoice and praise him in the seed in the barn. Isn't that awesome? That is awesome to me. And it's written in the scriptures right here. Look at somebody next to you. High five them and tell them, count on it. Oh, come on, that's better. You guys are pretty lame. Say, count on it. There you go. That's good. You can count on the blessings that God is going to give because his promise is here. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails, so count on it. There we go. Somebody may think we're Pentecostal here today. That's good. It's all good. Somebody's told me count your blessings as they come. But I say count your blessings when they're not even here. The stuff in your life is in seed form, and guess what? God wants to cultivate and bring it to fruition. What you may have gone through this year, guess what? Count on a blessing. And then I want to tell you, I like kind of freaked out, and I went back to the Christmas story since I didn't preach on Christmas sermons at all. You realize I didn't do any verses on Christmas this year? So guess what? Last end of the year, God led me to this, and I just want to share this with you. And I'm going to go to Luke chapter 2. And in Luke chapter 2, this is when the angels appear to the shepherds, and they're like afraid. And I had a friend of mine that in the King James said they were so afraid they were sore. And that's pretty afraid when you're sore. But it says this. It says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And listen to the sign that they give him in. This will be a sign to you. You're going to hold on here. Ready? This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying where? In a barn. The promise was given when the seed of a baby was in the barn. God does not change. So why do you think 2014, 2015, he's gonna do something different? No, praise him while and rejoice. He said, I came to you with good news of a great joy. The shepherds and everybody started praising God. The angels started praising God when the baby was in the barn. Not when he was on a cross, not when he rose again. That added to it. That promise was there on the day that Jesus was born. That's a good God. That's a great God because he does not change. So today I bring you great news. I bring you fantastic news because guess what? This year is one that is full of promise if you rejoice now in what God has given to you. Let's look at this. I want you to go ahead and preach the final parts of the sermon with me as the praise team comes forward. I want you to say, I'm rejoicing. Come on, stand up, stand up. I'm rejoicing for the battles that didn't beat me. I'm rejoicing for the beatings that did not break me. They strengthened me. I am rejoicing for the beginnings that seem small and unimportant. I'm rejoicing for the seed in the barn.
I'm rejoicing for the seed in the barn.
Jesus never fails.
Jesus never fails.
Somebody look at somebody, high five them and say, count on it.
Count on it.
All right. Count on him. Count on Jesus with the Holy Spirit. All right. All right. All right. We're awake. People who are awake, they don't know what they missed today, right?
Amen.
Praise God for the blessings in your life. And I challenge you to do something for yourself that I'm gonna do this week. We have how many weeks in a year? 52? I want you to put down 52 seeds in your life. I want you to put them down. Put them down on something. Put them on an iPad. Put them on a piece of paper. Tattoo them. Whatever you want to do. But I want you to go ahead and say, God, here's my 52 blessing. Here's my 52 seeds. And I want them to become blessings. And I'm going to give them to you. And I'm going to rejoice and praise you for that. Amen? If you need to pray, I'm going to ask our senior ministers, our prayer coordinators to come forward, if you would. And Debbie, would you mind heading to the back? We realize some people don't want to come up, but we're also going to allow people to pray. If 2014 was one of those years for you, just one of those years, recognize that it didn't knock you down. You're still standing. Amen. And so you have a lot of promise, because the promise is in Christ Jesus. If you just need to pray and get in front of the Lord, come on and do that right now. Jesus is here, and finish off this year right. If you're not giving your life to Jesus Christ, if you don't know who he is, if you haven't really opened up your life and said, I hear you talk about him, and I hear that he died on the cross, and I'm not quite sure about that, that's okay. What you have to do is just say, okay, I've tried it myself, and I just need you. And just open up your heart and your life to him. Amen?
Amen.
All right, as the lights come down, we're going to go ahead and give you a chance to just come before the Lord and pray. And if you want to, just pray with somebody near you. And let's just worship the Lord. Amen.
If faith can move mountains, let the mountains move. We come with expectation, waiting here for you.
All right. So today is our last day of this year. You're still standing, and now we're gonna run with the Lord. So 2014, God has blessed us awesomely, and so I'm looking forward to the promises that He's already bringing forth this next year. Next week, we're gonna start it off right. We've got a new sermon series that we're gonna begin next week called, and it's gonna be up here called "Going Deeper." So we're gonna go deeper. Anybody ready to go deeper? Okay, I promise I won't have ice cold water that we have to dive into here. Maybe a dunk tank, that would be cool. But we're gonna go a little bit deeper in where the Lord wants to lead us. And so I hope that you'll have a safe and happy transition to this new year. And it's been a great year. Thank you for your support and your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service. And 2015, God only knows the blessings that He's going to bring here. And I just pray that lives are going to be changed. It's the whole reason why we exist in Haven, is that lives are going to be changed. So whether you're here today, whether you're watching online, we love you and recognize that there's a God who loves you. He never fails. And I do want to lift up one other prayer that I neglected to lift up. Is Bill Reeves, Bobby Burke's father. He's in the hospital. I saw him yesterday. He seemed to be doing well, but he's going to have some congestion and things like that. So please go ahead and lift him up in your prayers during this time, and Bobby and the whole family. And then also pray tomorrow that West Virginia beats Texas A&M in the bowl game. Go Mountaineers. Have a great week. God bless. And if you see somebody, tell them, count on it. See somebody you don't know and say hello. Thank you, man.
You alone, I long to worship Him. Will worship with all of my heart, as I will praise You with all of my strength. I will seek You all of my